Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to News My Fiance with Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush. This morning, I'm Morgan Jones.
I'm DJ Ambush.
Hello. Welcome.
I'm always Morgan Jones.
Aren't you? Are you? I feel like sometimes you're definitely both.
Oh, yeah, no, definitely.
So you're saying, oh, I got you. You're never not Morgan Jones.
Talk to him. One more time for the people in the back. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. All right. I'm sorry. Enjoy the conversation, man. Morning, everybody. Shoot us a text at 971-220-5979. Good morning to all our fiancés, our loyal listeners, the ones that are always here every week or at least as many weeks as they can make it. You know, it's a big ask. It's a tall ask. It is 7:30 in the morning. I, for one, on a day when I don't have to do the radio show, my alarm doesn't go off till 8. So kudos to yous. And for anyone just joining us, when you text in, give us a name. It doesn't have to be your real name. This is your chance.
What do you want us to call you?
Hello.
Stage also, we name. Miss you, P-Town.
I know. Oh.
But back to...
Sorry, that froze me.
It didn't mean to verklempt you. Yeah.
But yeah, this is your opportunity to pick a new name for yourself. Stage name. Maybe you're not, you know, it's grown on you. The name your parents have given you, it's grown on you. You're like, it works. Okay, whatevs. But with us, you get to re-identify yourself. You get to take this moment to be like, you know what? I'm done being called David today. I don't want to be called David today. I want to be called something else. And you can do that here. We are about freedom of speech. What's that noise you're making over there? Are we not about freedom of speech? Huh? I don't know. I feel like I'm in the studio with someone that likes, you know, oligarchs and billionaires now. Morgan's changed. She's changed a lot, you guys. You might not even recognize her when she starts talking. All right. I'm sorry. I don't want any smoke from Michelle or AJ or anyone else out there being like, Ambush, please turn your mic off. You're doing too much. I don't need any of that smoke. How's everybody doing this morning, though? I was grateful to wake up to a 50-degree morning. I needed some cooling down after the last couple of days. And now that they've been scorchers, it's just been like, man, I forgot. I got to start pulling the shorts out, man. I can't be doing this jeans in the morning. And then,
well, was it Monday that was like 85 degrees? No, Tuesday? What day is it?
Today's Thursday. I think it was Tuesday.
Yeah, it was Tuesday.
Yeah.
First of all, 85 degrees is too warm when it's muggy.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's what I'm missing. The muggy part.
Yeah.
That's why this is.
It is not supposed to be humid here.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. And it'd be humid here now. And that is zapping. I don't know how the bodies have adapted to it in other places.
Yeah.
Although you were thriving in the Philadelphia wet blanket that is the summer there.
Yeah, I also practice, you know, growing up there, I practiced the habit of not having clothes on a lot. Like,
go on.
The majority of my wardrobe was tanks, t-shirts, and shorts. Mm. If you can remember, if you can recall. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oof. Oh, man.
Most of the tank tops I recall were netted. Does that sound right?
Tricolored?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I was doing
Might have matched a hat.
I was doing my J.A. thing. Yeah. You know Bumba Clart.
No. Goodbye.
Well, they put that R in there. It's great. I was doing my. Yeah. Yeah, man. You're right. This mugginess, I keep forgetting, like, it wasn't like this when I first started coming out here. This humidity, it's not agreeing with the kid at all.
No. And it's.
Dib said, I'm here for this. What up, Dibs?
I'm not seeing text messages. I was just about to, you know, have something to say. So I guess it's a good thing that it's working on your end.
Michelle. Good morning, Michelle. Michelle says, good morning. I'm here for freedom of Morgan.
Yes! Yes! This smile on my face is so big right now. Like, it really doesn't take much to make me so happy.
She's like, woo, yeah.
Woo. Michelle's on my side.
I'm here for freedom of Morgan.
Yes. Well, speaking of freedom, do we want to talk about Chud the Builder off rip? Or
I think we do. I think it gets the people going. You know, I think they tuned in specifically. What are these two going to say about Chud the Builder? Do you guys know who Chud the Builder is?
Well, let's just, before we jump into that.
Yeah.
We do have to say what we're going to talk about.
Oh, we usually do that before the break, but come on, let's do it.
I get shows confused. I'm not going to argue it. I'm very tired.
Yeah, man.
And it's hot in here. And that's, I'll just say that Lily and I were talking about how hot it used to be in our kitchen when we were
kids.
You could just let me.
Sorry, because my mind went right there like, ooh, I'm going to get like a childhood story. I lit up. You see my face? I got really excited.
This is not a childhood story. Okay. This is when we were recording Vern and Vern and how hot it would be in our kitchen before we got AC. Oof. And it was sweltering. And as I'm like, she's working so hard yesterday and it was so hot in the house. And I'm like putting an ice pack on her head.
Sheesh.
I was like, she was like, do you remember how hot it used to be in your kitchen? And I was like, no conversation is worth how hot that was and how uncomfortable. Like, there's no amount of recording that needs to get done at all.
Wow.
For as hot and like uncomfortable that was.
It's so muggy.
Okay, so that was me getting shows confused, but I will say that we're going to talk about in local stories, Clackamas County deputies going viral for the wrong things.
Once again.
Again.
It's their fave.
And then too many federal or national stories, you know, so put a bunch together because Trump's drunk admin is just slurping up all the resources and then telling us we have no resources. And in fact, needing resources is basically un-American.
What do you need resources
for? What do you need that for? Bootstrap. Get to it. But before that.
Mm-hmm. Freedom of speech.
Freedom of speech. You know, important tenet of this American life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Especially this white American life.
And it comes in many forms, Ambush.
Yeah.
You know, one is this particular brand of live streamer that likes to, you know, go outside. This is not a person who sits in their basement.
Not an academics.
This is not an academics. Mm-hmm. This is a walk around and ask people if they believe in freedom of speech, it's important to them, and then call them the N-word because they said, yep, freedom of speech is cool. And then it's like, yeah, N-word. It's just slur. Then, right. You know.
That's his.
His favorite phrase is, look at him chimping out.
I know he thought he ate with that one. I know Chud was like, oh, I'm going to kill the game with this. Chimping out. Cool.
Yeah. So, if you've been online at all this week, you probably saw the name Chud the Builder floating around at some point. especially after yesterday's shooting outside of a courthouse in Tennessee. Guy who built an online audience antagonizing black people with racial slurs has now been charged with attempted murder.
Sweet.
So Wednesday afternoon, outside the Montgomery County Courthouse in Clarksville, Tennessee, Dalton Etherly, who goes by Chud the Builder, got into some kind of confrontation in the plaza outside the courthouse. Witnesses say there was an argument, somebody punched him, and then multiple shots were fired. According to the district attorney, Etherly is the one who pulled the gun and opened fire. Mm-mm. One person was seriously injured and had to be airlifted to Vanderbilt in Nashville. Etherly also apparently shot himself in the arm during the chaos. I think he missed the firearm handling class.
Yeah, the training. Yeah.
He was supposed to take.
Well,
they, or even, you know, just on a Sunday LARP, he just didn't even learn basic safety.
Well, babe, he was taking his freedom of speech classes, and there was a conflict in the schedule.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, fair. You know, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
You're going to shoot yourself in the arm.
That's what you're going to do.
He was later charged, and at first it was online streamer detained, online streamer questioned, and then it's like charged with attempted murder. But he was later charged with attempted murder, aggravated assault, reckless endangerment, and employing a firearm during a dangerous felony. Now, the reason this story is getting much attention is because this man already had a reputation online. He built his social media presence around harassing black people in public. That legit is his content. He would live stream himself walking up to black folks, calling them racial slurs, provoking confrontations, daring people to fight him, and then hiding behind free speech and calling the police.
Yep.
And I really need folks to understand the difference between free speech and targeted harassment, because some people are online framing this like, oh, he's just a troll. He's just trolling. He's just exercising his rights. Got to get the practice in. This is someone repeatedly escalating racial confrontations in public for views, for money, for attention, and for internet clout. And it should really put us all in a, bad place to realize how many people want to see this kind of content, or how many people are like, yeah, brother. Go out there. You see him chipping out. Because it's a full blown blatant harassment.
100%.
And what's disturbing for me is that less than a week before this shooting, he posted online threatening lethal force, saying, "I will defend my life with lethal force." And then followed that up with another post using racist language, talking about a series finale ending with somebody dead in the street. I feel like he wrote this one, you know?
For certain. He's no speedweed, but he definitely wrote this.
He's not subtle. This is not edgy comedy. That's somebody telling you exactly what their mindset is. And apparently, this wasn't isolated behavior. Back in November, he was arrested on harassment charges for another one of these racist confrontation videos. At one point, he falsely implied he was affiliated with the police department, and Clarksville PD had to publicly come out and say, "This man does not work for us." Then just days before the courthouse shooting, he was arrested again in Nashville after allegedly running up almost a $400 steakhouse bill, refusing to pay, live streaming inside the restaurant after staff asked him to stop, and then reportedly became disruptive and, you know, started making the racist comments again because why not?
You said he ran up a $400 bill?
Yeah, and he refused to pay, so he was arrested for the theft.
As a solo diner, and I'm assuming no one, I mean, how do you...
I don't know that he was solo. I don't know what he was doing. I don't...
$400 is a lot. Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
I just don't want people to act shocked that this escalated into violence.
No.
Because that's exactly what he's been asking for.
Yeah, he's been courting it.
When your whole identity becomes, you know, antagonism and racial provocation, that's what's going to happen to you,
yeah.
You know? But social media has created this ecosystem where people realize outrage is profitable and racism becomes content. Harassment becomes your branding, you know, and these platforms reward that escalation. The more extreme you are, the more attention you get, even if it's just to be banned, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And eventually some people stop seeing real life as real life. Everything becomes a stream. Everything becomes content. Every confrontation becomes an opportunity to go viral until somebody gets shot outside a courthouse.
Right.
And now, you know, two families are changed because this man's racism, decided racism and chaos was a career path.
Like, you know, so many other racist streamers out there that decided to, you know, do this stuff for clicks, do this stuff for what are the things called, super chats, and getting all that money on Twitch and YouTube doing this foolishness. The way you started out painting that picture of Chud is really important for people to understand. So this isn't a little guy. This is a little guy. This is a big dude. He's got broad shoulders. He's got a frame to match. And he walks around with this goofy cowboy hat and mustache.
Well, he's a renegade.
Yeah.
You know?
He's out there. He's out there, like, you know, on his full machismo. And he starts these interactions off camera. And by the time he cuts the camera on, he's already incited the person. So now it looks like they're starting it with him. And he's reacting by calling them racist terms.
Right.
And it's been going on for a while. And if you haven't heard of him, you know what? Bless you. Bless you.
Big time.
It took a while for him to come across my radar. And by the time it did, you know, things escalated quickly. So he was detained, I believe, either earlier in the week or late last week or over the weekend. He was previously detained before this happened. And he was saying that in the conversation with law enforcement, I believe it was FBI agents at the time, that they were telling him, hey, you keep going this way, it's going to escalate. It's going to, you know, someone's going to end up, you know, unalived. And he said, firstly, you know, that's not something that I want to happen, which kind of feels weird. When you add 2 + 2, you're going to get 4. It's like, I don't want it to be 4. I want it to be 3. Fit. Yeah. Like, what do you mean? Dude, you're agitating people. He makes a point, I should say this, that when he's agitating people, he makes a point to pull up his shirt and let them know he's armed.
All the time.
And he keeps bear mace on him, and he has sprayed people multiple times with bear mace. Yeah. Like, there's no other way for this to go. Like, you're asking to be hunted. So,
you're asking to be hunted.
You're asking to be hunted, B. Like, on camera for fun, you just bear mace and black people. You want all of the smoke.
Mm.
And we see this happen a lot. Black people being antagonized. And there's always this, you know, this propagandized version of what black life is and black identity, whereas, you know, we're just so violent and, you know, they're unpredictable and they're just so dangerous, no matter what age, shape, size, whether they're 9 playing in a park or, you know, a single mother sitting in a car, they're all so dangerous. But when these things are happening, you don't see us, you know, gathering pitchforks and tracking people. Like, again, Zimmerman's walking around just fine. Yeah, that irks me. But he said in his video where he's talking about his interaction with the FBI, when he said he didn't want anyone to die, he said, because if something happens to me, there are going to be riots in the street.
Oh, he's Charlie Kirk now?
There are going to be protests. And I'm sitting here listening to this man. I'm like, you are so far ahead. You're this martyrdom that you're chasing is decades away from whatever you think you're doing right now.
Delusional.
Sir, 100%. And now with like that aspect came leaking through. And it was like, oh, wow. Okay. So not only are you just a hardcore racist for cash, you really think you're here for some divine purpose.
That you probably ChatGPT'd with, you know. What's the best content going right now for a guy that looks like me?
And you got to watch that ChatGPT because they'll tell you this will lead to your martyrdom. Like, it'll talk you right into it. You
know, no one's really been a genius like this before. I can tell you, I've got access to everything that's been written, and wow, are you smart. You should probably just get on out there and test the waters.
Yeah. We'll never know until you do. Make sure your mustache is thick. Like, dudes. My tank was full the second I can't do those videos. You know.
Oh, yeah. No, that's not for me.
Yeah, you're not.
That's not for. I mean, seriously, it's literally not.
No.
The idea that you're going to antagonize a group of people, then once they respond, you tell them, look at them chimping out. Like that right there, one of the things that it makes racism impossible to really understand because it's so illogical. You're making a thing happen that you say is inherent for us.
Right.
It's a thing we just can't help but to do.
Yeah, we're just so violent.
We're so violent. We don't know how to talk. We can't speak the English. You know, whatever it is that they're saying in that moment. But you have to do all of that to get somebody to respond to you. Then it's not true.
I thought it was our nature. Shouldn't we just be,
shouldn't. You should just be able to put up a trail cam.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? In every part of a neighborhood and just be like, look at them chipping out. A
trail cam.
They just can't help themselves. They wake up and they get to it.
And they just start chipping.
But you certainly can't create the situation in which somebody would be upset and then label it that as you are saying. Look at him. Just can't even help this.
Phil said he wanted to be Chud Floyd. It's so true. It's so true. Oh, my God. You have so little going on in your life. You want to be worshipped in death. Sir, this is what I need you to do. Shave the mustache. Get rid of the collection of those cowboy hats. Maybe spend a little less time in the gym. Are we rewarding? I don't know. Just
he ain't that big. I don't know. I also feel like, this person is going to be that person no matter what the subject is. Meaning...
This would be him as a
As an woman, incel.
Yeah.
As a freaking.
What do they call them? Dating coaches? What are they called?
That's what I'm trying to think.
Yeah.
Pickup artist.
Yeah, yeah, yes. That's what he looks like. Mustache, hat, all of it. He looks like a buff pickup artist.
That he could. He just, you know. He couldn't get a grift, I think. You know, it just, you, if you have to default straight to IRL race bait,
yeah, like none of the other grifts are working. Wow.
That's pretty bad.
Lowest grift. Lowest grift wins.
And don't get me wrong, Charlie Kirk was doing that. Mm-hmm. What's his name? Steven Crowder was doing that. With his, you know, change my mind, go to a college campus and be like, God. Are the blacks with brain? Black people don't have brains. Change my mind.
Those brain challenge blacks, even on a college campus. Change my mind. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, this guy is a humongous dorkosaurus, a total loser, a full blown nobody likes me. And that just, you know, turned into a personality with an entire system that backs it.
Did you see, I mean, real quick, you're listening to X-Ray FM at KX All by Portland. At 91.1 and 107.1 FM, and then the Halen Wheeler Manzanita Rockaway Beach at 91.7 FM, streaming online everywhere at xray.fm. Did you see Complex's hip hop media list?
Pass.
Okay.
I saw that man DJ Academics at number one.
Yeah. AK.
Sheesh.
What's that kid's name? Neon? He's on there, and there was like two or three other people.
How is he hip hop media?
Thank you. There was like two or three other people that also dabble in the online racism. And I'm looking at this list, like, Complex?
Well, they dabble in the online.
Apparently, greatly. Like, why? What is happening here? I am so confused. I am so confused. Why?
Phil, help.
Why are we entertaining this? So, like, it's one thing to be like, there are so many people that find this entertaining, right? There are so many people that find pedophilia entertaining, and they do it in secret online. On the Silk Road or wherever the hell else they find their stuff, right? We have mainstream media platforms. We have mainstream streaming platforms rewarding, embracing, encouraging racism, stoking the fires. It says
fanning the flames.
Fanning the flames. And it goes back to your point again, like, if there were a fear of consequence from black people, would like, you be so cavalier fanning these flames?
I feel like you would not be running out there.
No.
In the same respect.
No.
I believe this is Phil saying, Chud is a generic Remick. And yeah.
Yeah. That's Phil. Yeah.
Abso-frickin-lutely.
Yeah.
Just a vampire out here trying to make honest. No, I'm just joking.
He's trying to make an honest racist living.
You know?
Billy Joe said, thankfully, never heard of this white boy. Southern dumb. Knock his block off myself. Billy Joe, you are, come on, man. Speaking my language.
Yeah.
Talking my talk. You're talking my talk so much I can't read it on the air. This is my type of talk.
Knock like, his block what? Off is absolutely one of my favorites.
That and eat my shorts.
I was just going to say, there were two phrases I didn't really use as a child that were around that right now are getting big play. And I'm going to add knock his block off. There's going to be three.
Wait, what are the other two? Eat mushrooms is one.
What yeah, I can't one? Say the other one on the radio.
Okay.
I'll figure out how to say it on
the I could not else. Believe it. When you said eat my shorts on the Monday night show, I was like, holy smokes. Really? That is awesome.
What? It's my ultimate form of disrespect right now.
You said it with such disdain. it came through like, eat my shorts. Whoa. You are a Simpson.
And I'm going to be annoyed by it.
Yeah.
You
know, like...
They give you this command, but I'm annoyed by even the idea.
Oh my God.
I've got to tell you guys, something's happening. I'm watching it in real time.
Uh-oh.
It is hot as Hades in here. We are both, like, just wiping our brows.
I'm glistening. And I don't like to glisten this early in the day.
It's too early to be sitting and glistening.
Yeah.
Like, there, you ain't got no business.
Sparkling.
Shining. It's so hot right now that it's zapping our energy. I'm watching both of us drain a bit.
Mm.
I will say this really quickly, Ambush. You have been on... What We Do in the Shadows kick.
Oh, I have.
And I came into the bedroom two nights in a row to the same episode.
Oh, no.
And nah, it was fine. It's when, you know.
Which one was it?
When Guillermo goes to Derek's job, you know.
Oh, yeah, they get turned.
So I'm trying not to, you know,
sorry.
Mess it up for anybody else who hasn't seen it. You've got... I mean, I guess it stopped a while ago, so
yeah,
there's no spoilers.
Yeah.
Anyway, I started that show for my dad yesterday. I thought,
wow,
this would be right up his alley. And the timing wasn't great because I also had handed him his newspaper. So he was pretending to read that while chuckling about the TV, but then was also like, what are they talking
about?
What
is going on here?
What is this? Morgan, there's a show about, I don't know, it's kind of stupid. I think there's vampires or something. I was like,
there's a show about kind of stupid.
Kind of stupid is wild, Dad. I put this on just for you.
I get it. It's so Monty Python. That's the core why I love this show. It's just like, what? This is absurd.
It's absurd. He watched two episodes and then he moved on.
Okay.
Yeah.
He started the first season?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
We started the beginning in this household.
I love it.
Yeah.
Household.
Anyway.
Oh, Laszlo, I would have loved to have been in there to see what he was laughing at, like which parts he found entertaining.
Yeah. And it's why the first two, you know, the first season, I'm sure,
it's
but
out
like
there.
The first few episodes are just very strange.
Yeah.
They're just figuring out what this is.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of world building.
It's a lot of world building. Guillermo has like 5 o'clock shadow on his face. It's so
really?
In the very first episode. Like, what is happening? Who is this person?
I'll start it over.
Anyway.
That's hilarious.
Would love a music break. And then maybe we do the new, do some stories.
Yeah, you're going to get what you want. We'll hop into this music break and we'll be right back. And we are back. Welcome back to News of My Fiance with Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush. Right here on X-Ray FM. Join the conversation. Shoot us a text at 971-220-5979. Again, that is 971-220-5979. If it's a little bit more difficult to hear us, please let us know. There's not a whole lot we can do about that because the AC is running. And we will not do the rest of the show without the AC. I'm sorry.
I mean, it's like, Michelle, if you say this is unbearable.
Okay. Yeah.
Then, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we need that level of honesty. Someone's going to have to be like, hey, guys, we can't really hear you. This doesn't work.
This ain't the move.
This ain't the move. Because otherwise, we're like, wow.
What happened?
Michelle said, this song break almost makes me feel optimistic. And that's the power of Wale, really. Yeah. You know?
And thank you for saying that.
Yeah, Michelle,
because
for real.
I started out playing the wrong Lupe song.
Yep.
But Sunshine, it was great. It was perfect. You can never go wrong with Sunshine.
You can't go wrong with it. You're my sunshine, you know?
Follow it up with that Wale. Yeah, you're right. Very optimistic. Ready to start my day.
I wanted to close my eyes for the amount of time of the music break, and then he played those two songs. So I got no nap. I got no break.
Thanks to Ambush.
Thanks to Ambush. You know, just consistent work over here. That's all that happened.
All he knows how to do. You see what Michelle said?
Michelle said, it'll be harder to hear you if you've collapsed from heat exhaustion. I had to turn up the volume, but NBD. Thank you. Needed to hear that. Real quick before we get into stories.
Yeah.
There were a couple of other warm-up things that got me.
Talk to me about it.
Well, as everyone knows, I have been head down, deep in caregiving, not my calling, having a hard time. Me and my mom are at odds frequently right now.
What is it usually over? Something very trivial? Like something like you want her to do something good for herself?
Literally just that. Like, it's never anything but that.
Sherry, it's for you. I promise.
I promise this is for you. And she's like, great, then I'll make the decision. No.
No. Sherry.
Oh, man. She is the wildest woman I have ever met. And, it just keeps going right now. But, yeah. One of my favorite things is following a story to the end, you know, like you can't always get the updates from after a trial or after an arrest or something like that. But sometimes you get a bunch of it. Sometimes you don't want that.
Yeah.
But here I was following the murder mystery.
The not so mystery
of the murders. For quite some time, however many years ago that was, there's about 17 different versions of a made-for-TV style movie of this. Many, including really famously known actors and other ones not so much. But I have watched many things, many documentary. Shout out to my girl, Ella. We have spent much time talking about the Murdaws.
Yeah.
Well, if you'll remember, one Alex Murdaw, who was not only stealing from many of his clients.
He
had many different schemes going on. He also was at some point addicted to opioids,
right,
and was using a lot of that money he was stealing.
So many layers to this.
Clients to purchase large quantities of, you know, Oxy and then hiding it in his house because he wasn't supposed to be doing none of that stuff. Hard to hide stuff when you have a housekeeper, though. I'm going to say that.
Right.
Especially when you don't clean your house. I don't know why you think you can hide anything. Like, if someone else actually does the cleaning, I clean my parents' house. My dad can hide nothing from me.
At all.
You had three pieces of chicken in the middle of the night, didn't you? Why do you know that? The bones are under your bed now.
Yeah, and they weren't there yesterday.
They weren't there yesterday when I was cleaning your room.
Sorry to, you know, unearth your secret there, Pops, but yeah.
I want to be clear. My parents never cleaned my room.
Really? They left you to your own devices. They demand it be clean, though.
How are you going to learn to clean your room if I do it? Is what Nick Jones used to say to me all the time. How would you learn how to do it if I did it?
I need an example, though, Pop. What's the standard you want here?
Look at my room. Like, I need, I did a lot of teaching myself stuff.
You were a room cleaning guy very early in your career.
My point of saying anything was they never, this is not like this is get back.
Yeah. Yeah.
They never cleaned my room. That was not a thing. And now I'm cleaning their room. I am finding all the weird things that my parents do. Mm-hmm. They are gremlins. They do wild stuff in the middle of the night. I find clothes on the inside of the bed as if we get in the bed with pajamas on. And then at some point we take some things off, not all things, just some things.
Right.
And then I find it when I'm trying to make the bed. Oh, I wonder what this is doing here. Also, why is the remote from the living room on the inside of your bed? Anyway, I don't know how I got here.
That's hilarious.
What was the point? I thought I was going to talk about Alex Murdaugh.
You were talking about how he was hiding things in his house, expecting them to be found, but he hasn't cleaned the house.
Tangents are tangenting.
Yeah.
Apologies, everybody.
It's quite all right.
Well, so one of the wildest true crime stories has just gotten messier. The South Carolina Supreme Court overturned Alex Murdaugh's murder conviction and ordered a new trial in the killing of his wife and son. And not because the court, you're looking at me, Ambush, like, you saying the words you're saying?
I saw the show. He's guilty. I'm very confused. All the evidence was presented to me.
Uh-huh.
By actors I trust. He did it.
He indeed.
Okay.
Not because the court said he's innocent.
Okay.
But because they found that the original trial was tainted by jury interference from the county clerk.
Oh my God.
And that county clerk allegedly told jurors not to trust Murdaugh and basically nudged them toward conviction. The court said that she placed her fingers on the scales of justice.
Who is she? I need a name. When's her made-for-TV movie coming out?
Unsure. But I mean, now probably going to have some sort of something. Yeah,
they got to redo the movies.
Got to start all over.
Yeah.
I mean, this does not mean he walks free.
Right.
He's still in prison for all his financial crimes and the fraud schemes that he already pleaded guilty to. But the murder case is being reset. And honestly, this is just like, what I expected to hear was like some ridiculous, you know, South Carolina was able to find the loophole that lets one Alex Murdaugh out of prison because his daddy did this and his daddy's daddy did that and his daddy's daddy daddy did whatever. And I really thought it was about to be that. Not that somebody was, the county clerk was like, hey, y'all, he's awful. Don't you dare.
Let me tell you something about Murdaugh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which he definitely is accused of being allegedly pretty awful. You know, the kind of person that's smiling at you all the time, glad handing you and everything's great and literally stealing your money from you.
Right.
While telling you he's waiting on the check.
Your life savings gone because he convinced you to invest with him.
That or he gets you a huge settlement and you never get it.
Right.
Because he just never got it. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Still waiting on it.
Still waiting on it. Still haven't seen that. Don't know.
Anybody see my oxys? Well, we're still waiting on that settlement.
A mess and a half.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Jeez, leave. Well, listen, this is someone who's had the deck stacked The evidentiary deck is stacked against him.
Yeah.
We don't need Jews. Don't nobody say nothing. Chillax.
There's man. That. I don't.
Like, they didn't need any assistance.
These are the things that don't need assistance. I do understand being so worried because you don't see that person ever have consequences.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah.
I do understand that sort of panic because in that town,
their family ran things.
Exactly. Yeah, and there is, I get it. There's nothing in me. I don't know this woman's name. I'm going to call her Kathy for now. Nothing in me that doesn't understand Kathy's panic of he's going to charm them all. Something's going to happen.
Yeah.
They're going to believe him.
Yeah. That makes sense.
But you absolutely can't jump in and be like.
And get caught. Please don't get caught.
You're the county clerk. Yeah. You don't.
Yeah. But you're right. After watching that family get away with harming people for decades.
I mean, it's a little bit shocking, honestly, that he was arrested for the murder of his wife and son. Mm-hmm. I think that if it wouldn't have happened all in the same day, we'd still be, there'd be episodes of Serial trying to explain how many people have died around the Murdaughs, you know?
Because there was like the boating accident.
Oh, a lot of people die around the Murdaughs. Yeah. His son that he killed had a boating accident, allegedly boating while impaired as a minor.
Come on, bro.
With all the homies and killed one of the ladies in the friend group.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Okay.
And then they covered that up. And then there was the other son was involved with someone who might have been a boyfriend. And then he died near the property. And then their housekeeper, who had been with them for forever, slipped and fell on the stairs and died on the property. And then he had her sons sue his insurance so they would get a settlement, and then he stole it.
Yeah. Leave him where he is. Let's get this trial reran so we can tack on some more. And just, you know, he does not need to see the light of day. That is wild.
Yeah, I don't think he will. I don't think he will.
Goody gumdrops.
And in other news, Dr. Oz has told us that we are under-babied here in America and women are not doing their jobs, young and old.
Did you know that was your job? Pump babies out? Were you aware that you were underperforming as a woman in the United
Actually,
States?
Actually, yes.
Okay.
Woo, to answer your question, yes, I've known this. And the reason, one of the reasons that as a younger person, I was like, I am not going to have babies and not be a part of that part of the world was poverty.
Hello.
And I think that the reason why, you know, Mehmet Oz is coming out and telling us that we're under-babied and that women are just not doing enough, not doing our part.
Mm-hmm.
I think that all has to do with capitalism. And you have to keep people in poverty. Going to take away women's ability to decide for themselves and then, you know, certain states, it's let's lower that age of consent. Let's actually, as long as her daddy says she can marry me, 12.
It's such a silly notion for us to be, for our resources, our current resources to be so mismanaged at the federal level that people are convinced that we're actually under-resourced, right? We see poverty everywhere. We see houselessness. We see job insecurity. There's so many challenges to just standing still in America and existing. And then this party is like, while all that may be true, let's add more people to the equation.
Gotta have more people.
God, because that's going to fix things. What are you talking about? I can't feed myself. And you're telling me I have a duty to add 5 more kids to my family.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Well, what else would keep you stuck to 5 different jobs?
Unbelievable.
What else would keep you, you know? And actually, I don't want you to have a full-time job that provides for all your needs. That'd be crazy. You know, that, what is this, the 50s?
Right.
I need you to work 7 part-time jobs. And that way, you'll never get any sort of health benefits. You'll never get any sort of major employee protections. Because are you really an employee? I mean, I don't even really know.
Right.
I mean, there's a badge and stuff with your name on it, but I'm sure.
Just part of your uniform, you know?
Yeah. You pay taxes on that? I don't know. Like, it keep you, to keep us all trapped. And if you are, the more dependents you have, the more people depend on you to survive, the more you are going to be tied to working for someone else, never being able to, yep. Not never, but harder to be able to realize your own dreams, harder to be able to work towards and become successful in a field that you are passionate about, yep. Something that matters to you. Nah, you might not be able to do that. You might, you know, make a fantastic middle of the night assistant manager. You know,
oh,
and
my
that
gosh.
Might just be now what you do.
Boom. See what Michelle said?
Yes, Michelle said they don't really keep it a secret when you're underperforming as a woman.
As a woman.
And I want to be very, very loud in my echoing of that. Yeah, they don't let you
Mm-mm.
not know.
Mm-mm.
Oh, is this a follow-up?
Yeah.
Very important to keep people in poverty and make sure there are ample children without enough access to education and opportunity so that they can't say no to the worst jobs or whatever polluting industry they want to put next in their town. Thank you again. Join us every Thursday and Monday when Michelle makes everything I just said way succinct, puts it into one of the best little packages, and is able to text message it.
Yeah. She is our Duchess of Communications.
She is our Duchess of Communications. She does a fantastic job making, using much less words.
Yeah.
To say the same thing.
It's a nasty cycle that they want us to participate in. It's really, really nasty.
And it's not really wants us to participate in. I think it's more force you to participate in. And
right. I said it like we had a choice.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to laugh so loud into the mic. This text says, they aren't really worried about everyone's birth rate, though. Am I white?
Nice.
Fantastic work. Okay. I got, I'm going to give you an option.
All right.
Choices here.
Yeah.
We either get a music break
mm-hmm.
and I get to close my eyes for the duration of the music break.
All right.
I'll take my head in here. I will not in any way punish our audience because your tune choices are too exciting for me.
All right.
I'll take my headphones off if I have to.
All right.
Or,
mm-hmm.
okay, we can go music break and then come back straight into story.
Okay.
Or,
okay,
you can start a story and I'm still going to close my eyes.
Let's do that. Because this local story has got me chomping at the bit. No? You wanted to do that one?
Yeah.
You want to do the national?
yeah.
She's like, don't take my story. Okay. I'll do the national one then.
You're a fantastic man. Everybody give it up for Ambush.
I mean, this falls right in line with us talking about the system anyway. So, while regular people are getting told we need to tighten our belts, accept cuts, expect less healthcare, and just trust the process, the people running this country are spending public money like they hit the Powerball. And that's really the theme of this whole week in politics. Austerity for the public, luxury for the elites. Because on one side, J.D. Vance is out here threatening states over Medicaid funding in the name of waste, fraud, and abuse. On the other hand, on the other side, rather, Donald Trump is getting handed waterfront Miami land worth potentially hundreds of millions of dollars for a presidential library / luxury vanity project that might also include a hotel with his name on it. The way this man is in competition with Obama is wild.
Oh, what do you mean by that? Does Obama have a hotel?
His library has a full campus. It's amazing. There's like so many places you can go and do interactive stuff.
But can you stay the night
there? No, and that's the one up.
In your own room? Like sort of like a hotel?
I wonder if the gold phones are in there.
Did you know that it's the presidential library?
First of its kind, Morgan. There's never been a hotel.
There's never been a hotel library before.
Never. There's never been a hotel library. Some say it's the most gold. It's the goldest library.
Some say it's the future.
Yeah. Okay. Let's start with the Medicaid piece first. Vice President J.D. Vance announced the administration may cut off federal Medicaid funding to states they claim aren't doing enough to stop fraud.
California.
And of course, they're framing it like they're the brave heroes protecting taxpayer dollars. But if you actually listen closely, what they're really saying is if your state government doesn't cooperate with us politically, your residents could lose health care. That's the threat. And this is happening while millions of people already struggle to get care. Disabled folks are terrified about losing support services, and family caregivers are barely surviving financially as is.
Talk to them.
And the administration keeps throwing around this phrase, waste, fraud, and abuse. It's so doge. So yesterday. It's so doge, you guys. The phrase is political catnip because it makes people imagine giant piles of stolen money. But notice who they never seem to focus on. Not giant defense contractors, not pharmaceutical companies, not corporate healthcare executives, not Pentagon black holes where billions disappear and nobody can explain where it went. Nope. Somehow the fraud always magically comes back to poor people, disabled people, immigrants, caregivers, and social programs. And at the exact same time, they're warning us there's not enough money for healthcare. Trump and DeSantis are getting sued over handing Trump prime downtown Miami waterfront land for his presidential library project. Not land they bought, not land they leased, donated. Public land. And according to the lawsuit, the property next to Miami's historic Freedom Tower could be worth anywhere from $67 million to possibly $300 million because of the location. And Trump himself already said this thing could basically become a luxury hotel, too. This is in Florida, yeah?
Yeah. Welcome to Miami.
So this is a property that he's had his eyes on for probably quite some time.
Decades.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, of course, it will be. They don't even pretend to be in public positions doing public service anymore. It's just open public to private wealth transfer.
Boom.
The public gives the land. Trump brands the building. Trump profits from the building. And taxpayers get told there's no money for health care, housing, schools, or mental health services.
No, that's not. We spent it.
Yeah. And that's the formula. And meanwhile, Congress is grilling Pete Hegseth over the exploding cost of the Iran war.
Thank you.
The price tag, George Bush really did the number on me.
Yo, yeah. He made a lot of, a child left behind. really put us in a bind.
Iran.
Iraq.
Iraq, Iran.
Oh, my word.
The price tag is now reportedly around $29 billion.
Big peanuts.
And lawmakers from both parties are basically asking, what exactly is the plan here? Which is embarrassing. Because fuel prices are climbing, military stockpiles are shrinking, allies are frustrated, and nobody can clearly explain what the end game is. But again, notice how quickly money appears when it's war. Suddenly, there's always money for bombs, always money for military expansion, always money for private contractors. But for healthcare, disability services, housing, for mental health treatment? No. Now suddenly we got to do budget math like a stressed out parent at the grocery store. And then we get good old Cash Patel.
Oof. Big money.
Every time I see his face on the screen, it's like we lost the lottery. We just keep losing. The universe could have given us anybody.
Can we real quick just say, did you see Aziz playing Cash Patel?
I didn't. I saw a screenshot. This is on SNL, right?
Yeah.
I didn't.
First, I haven't seen Aziz in about 17 years.
Right.
And then him showing up to be Cash Patel and... In the moment of, guys, I spent all this money on liquor with my face on it. Like,
what was his character from Parks and Rec? Because that's pretty much what it sounds like.
Okay, first of all, he was not near.
When he's pitching something.
I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
That's probably my own fault, is what I'm saying. It was separate. This was not my man out here saying, treat yourself. This was, he was Cash Out Patel. Crash Out Patel, whichever.
Crash Out, Cash Out Patel, you I like know, them both.
Little Cash, not the big one.
Oh, yes.
He's small, you know? That's a small man.
In mind and stature.
And we will see him in Valhalla. You're not done.
No, we will see him in Valhalla.
Please continue.
Yes. Cash Patel, which honestly feels like less government oversight and more like a reality show, where everyone's yelling over each other while the country's on fire in the background. Patel spent part of his Senate hearing attacking lawmakers instead of answering questions, including repeated claims about Senator Chris Van Hollen that were either misleading or just flat out false.
They be lying.
Then you've got reports accusing Patel of padding FBI arrest numbers by counting arrests differently than previous administrations.
And see, that's the thing about math. You guys keep saying it's a universal language and 1 + 1 = 2 and 2 + 2 = 4. And that depends on how you count the number.
It's a universal language, but we have to be in a shared universe. And we aren't.
That's what I was trying to say. Thank
yeah. You. We are in a multiverse. And there's like a nexus where everything is just intersecting. And
this is the multiverse of madness?
Hello. Thank you. Thank you. That's exactly what's happening. excuse me. For them, everything becomes branding. Everything becomes performance. Everything becomes optics. Not solving problems. Not accountability. Not transparency, which is a word they love to use all the time. Mm-hmm. Just numbers for press conferences, clips for social media, culture war theater. And while everybody's distracted and arguing online about margaritas and insults in Senate hearings, public wealth keeps moving upward. Public services keep getting cut. And ordinary people keep getting told to expect less. That's the actual story underneath all of this. Underneath it all.
Don't play that song.
Underneath it all?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks.
I'm familiar with the tune.
No, you are.
All right.
Anyway. this text says, they got to put a hotel in the library because Florida burned all the books.
Blobfish.
Blobfish. Yo. Can I really quickly just.
Man, good point.
Bam really got Ron DeSantis, who he spent time calling Little Ron.
Yeah. Yeah. Straight up. Straight up.
And mispronouncing his last name, which is a really easy last name.
Yeah.
He mispronounced it so much that actual Ron DeSantis started saying his last name wrong.
He did.
Anyway, he got Ron DeSantis to steal land from the Floridians to give to him for a library when he's illiterate. And I want everyone to understand that the American president cannot read. Cannot read.
So we have a bunch of McDonald's menus in there. Stacks of them.
Still can't read that either.
No.
Just good pictures. You know, get me the Big Mac, get me the quarter pounder.
That and Trump.
Take the
Bibles.
Onions off.
Gold Trump Bibles and McDonald's menus littering the shelves of the library.
He can't read and he gets a library. Wild, number one. Number two, the fact that Florida won Miami? He doesn't even go there.
Right.
Miami? Waterfront? That's where the presidential library for a person who can't read is going to be.
Because he wants to get over. He's that. Got this vision in his head of like jet skis going across.
Well, yeah, and I mean that is what I like to see when I'm at the library.
Yeah,
that is actually pretty cool.
Because he's like, it doesn't need to be quiet in here. People need to be reading, like you said again.
Well, who would be reading at a library?
You know,
not him. Anyway,
God.
The fact that they are suing him.
Who?
And DeSantis. The state, I mean, it's weird. It's the citizens. Mm. You're
just stealing.
You can't take that land and make a hotel. The library is supposed to be a public good. Your presidential library is supposed to be a public service. It can't be a for-profit scenario.
Unless. No. Oh, okay.
See?
Unless it can, then we just found out.
You got to small it up as soon as it starts.
Yeah, you got to chop it off.
You cannot even allow it to happen. No, you save that. I don't want that. Don't want to hear about it.
DeSantis was like, Hail Hydra. Like, this man was going at you, bro. Just like Ted Cruz, this man was going at you. Taking all the shots.
Little Marco. Ted Cruz.
Oh my God.
You know,
I'm going to tell you right now, if ever, I'm saying this on the record, babes.
Uh-oh.
If ever I am in a back and forth with someone publicly and they insult you the way that he insulted.
Whoever's wife, everyone's wife,
everyone's wife,
the wives, first then, wives club of the people.
Right.
Yeah.
And then I turn around and nice it up with that person, you have to leave me where I stand. You gotta skedaddle immediately.
I really appreciate you making this public declaration, and I want you to know that I didn't need it.
Great.
You do that to me?
Great.
Peace be with you.
Yeah.
I absolutely will leave you where you stand.
Deuces.
Excuse me? This man said what and about who, and now you're like, I love it here. This man, jobs.
Like, how do you look at yourself in the mirror? Like, how?
I don't know. These be the same men that are like, my wife respects me. Like, okay. You keep telling yourself that, friend. Yeah, she does. For sure. Why she's there. Respect.
I'm sure somebody believes it. Her and her side piece really respect you.
Oh, boy.
You got to be kidding me.
We don't have a lot of time. Mm-hmm. Do we just jump right in?
Yeah.
To the next story.
Let's get that.
I'm so hot.
Yes. Give the people what they want, MJ.
Well, I'm pretty sure this is a new infomercial for abolishing the police drop. That's what I think happened. So the story has been all over social media after bystander video showed Clackamas County deputies pinning down and repeatedly punching a man during an arrest near Clackamas Town Center Sunday afternoon. Maybe I should stop here really quick and just give a bit of a trigger warning, as I am not in any way going to mince my words. So I am going to say what the police did. Actually and factually, I'm not going to pretend. So if those words, it trigger warning for violence.
Yeah.
There we go. The man arrested is 30-year-old Dakota Hadley. According to the Clackamas County Sheriff's Office, deputies first responded earlier that morning to what they described as a domestic disturbance call involving him. Hours later, they spotted him walking down Southeast Monterey Avenue, approached him, and attempted to arrest him. After the bystander video started going viral, the sheriff's office quickly released body cam footage claiming it showed Hadley resisting arrest and refusing commands. Hadley was eventually booked into jail on charges including resisting arrest, interfering with police, meth possession, and harassment. But according to Hadley's family, Dakota was actually experiencing a severe mental health crisis that day. His mother says she called 911 multiple times, specifically asking for help because her son was mentally ill, in crisis, unarmed, and not violent. And honestly, once you watch the body cam footage yourself, the entire framing of this story starts feeling very different. The way the police and media are describing this situation versus what the video actually shows are not really the same thing to me at all. The headlines keep saying things like deputies forced to use force after suspect resisted. This video or footage will be on our Instagram. But when you actually watch the footage, deputies go from zero to physical almost immediately. He is walking down the street alone. Deputies pull up. They start giving commands. Hands out of your pockets. Hands on your head. Interlace your fingers. Come over here. And before they ever say why he's being even spoken to or detained,
right,
one deputy is already behind him talking about putting him in handcuffs. Then within seconds, they slam him face first onto the dirt. It's a little patch of and this is where their sheriff's office, their narrative starts just completely falling apart. They keep saying that he was actively resisting arrest, but there's barely any visible time between contact and escalation. And once he's on the ground, there are multiple officers controlling his body. There are three people pinning him to the ground. One on his left side, one on his right side, and one with a knee in his back. And the one on his back is punching this man in the face, in the head, multiple times while screaming, hands, 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 as if Dakota could give his hands to someone while being pinned down and beaten up. And I'm sorry, but from the body cam angles, we can actually see it is not clear at all what level of threat justified repeatedly punching this man.
Right.
And a reminder, he is pinned. He's pinned. Then after all of that, deputies search his pockets and recover what they say is a meth pipe. And this is the part I feel like is not getting talked about by mainstream reporting at all. What exactly was the legal justification for that stop, for that detention, for that arrest, and that search in the first place? Please do not get unlimited authority to detain and search people simply because they're mentally ill in public.
Right.
And what is really frustrating about this coverage is how quickly media outlets just repeat police language as fact. Deputies say he resisted. Deputies say force was necessary. Okay, but journalism is supposed to do more than rewrite police press releases. Especially when there's actual video footage available to the public to watch for themselves.
Right.
And to me, this story becomes a really painful example of what families mean when they say there are almost no real mental health resources left. This man's family called for help during a mental health crisis. The response they got was armed deputies, immediate escalation, a public beating, criminal charges, and now jail. That is not mental health care. That is not public safety. And that is also not in any way the way that I assume people want their loved ones to be treated, right?
Oh, especially not when they're calling for assistance.
When you, so, I mean, this is basically free marketing materials for Portland Street Response. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, yeah, for real.
The police are just handing out all of the reasons that we do not need them. All of the reasons they need to be defunded. I mean, this is happening at a time where Portland police are saying, hey, we're not even going to be able to get to you if there's budget cuts.
Yeah. They said it'll take days for us to respond.
It could take days for us to respond.
If they take this $17 million that the mayor is proposing
right.
away from our budget.
And here's, for me, Ambush, they released this body cam with the idea of here's transparency, right?
Now you guys will see.
You guys will understand we didn't do anything wrong. When I say to you, the officer gets out of his car, says, take your hands out of your pockets. He does. He puts his hands in front of him. He says, put your hands behind your head and interlace your fingers. He does. He gets closer to him. He asks him what his name is. He says, Dakota. He says, okay. Now he's behind him and he says, relax your arms. And he doesn't relax his arms. His hands are behind his head, right?
Yeah.
Now the police want to take his arms down and
cuff him.
Presumably cuff him. You haven't said, hey, I'm Deputy so-and-so.
Nothing.
Hey, I'm doing the, your mom called. We just, you know, nothing. But he has his arms, his hands, and says, release your arms. And he doesn't do it, which literally there's no time in between. What happens, he doesn't do it. And the officer says, oh, we're not going to play any of these games. And says, I'm about to cuff you. If you resist, I will use force. And Dakota says, and then what? Man, I don't have time for this.
Right.
And the cop says, that's it. And now we're in a tussle. There is no resistance. There is no fighting. There is no him punching an officer.
Right.
There is no, you know,
Him running. There's none of that.
They're holding on to this man as they're aggressively speaking to him without any sort of understanding. The idea that there, so they show us two body cams because there's three officers there. Mm-hmm. They drop two body cams. One of them is I think the person who does some of the wailing, some of the punching. Is that mm-hmm. right though? I'm trying to think of the angle. In this moment doesn't really matter. It's from them being in the squad car. The first officer's body cam, you hear him say on the radio, like, oh, he's right there. And he pulls up and he gets out of the car. The other one is like, oh, yeah, that's him. And now he's punching it. Like, this is over by Clackamas Town Center, which means business parks everywhere. You know what I mean? Like, you're probably in a parking lot that you're now stabbing through to get to this person who's done nothing wrong. There is no crime. There is no alleged crime. His mother called the police and said, my son needs help. He's banging on my door. Even if you're going to call. So they're calling it that they were called for a domestic disturbance. But they're using that phrasing to make you think that this person did something harmful.
Yeah.
A domestic disturbance is not the same thing as a domestic violence situation or a you know what I'm saying?
No.
Using that phraseology, and then the media is just like, domestic disturbance.
I can't imagine.
He was banging on his mom's door.
I can't imagine what she's going through right now. Like, having called the police, called 911 to get assistance, and this is what the result is. Like,
this is
the guilt, the anguish that you're dealing with as a parent.
This was one of my aunt's biggest nightmares.
Oh, my gosh.
And one of the reasons that she would be like, I can't call the police on my son. I can't do it.
That might be it.
He's a, you know, in this instance, that's somebody who's big.
Yeah.
Who is clearly a person of color.
Right.
Might not be able to, racially ambiguous.
Which is enough for them.
But it's enough to know that ain't a white dude.
Right.
And that's the thing. We've never seen him not get manhandled. And you know, tossed around by the police. So the idea that this is her worst nightmare.
They can't be reformed. If this is how they show up to a mental health situation, this is how they show up completely unprovoked, no level of threat, you know, established. They just come in hot like that, and you release the footage thinking that this footage is going to show people that you were right.
Yeah.
Like, do you want to understand how warped your mind is, that you're seeing what we're seeing, but it's presenting to you with something complete. It's exoneration.
Fam.
No.
Straight up. Y'all
cannot. You cannot work. You, like, someone has to, like, if you think this is a good thing that you're showing me right now, I have to look at you. I have to, like, stop watching the screen and look at you and be like, what's going on in there? What's happening in that head of yours? Because this is absurd.
Absurd.
You're listening. Go ahead.
I just wanted there. This text says, I want to repost and share this body cam video. Tell us where to find it on the end. Says, I'm going to tell you right now. I will have it on our Instagram at News with My Fiance before 10 a.m.
Thank you, Blaze. You're listening to X-Ray FM at KXRY Portland at 91.1 and 107.1 FM and in Nehalem, Wheeler, Manzanita, and Rockaway Beach at 91.7 FM. Stream online everywhere at xray.fm. And that was News with My Fiance.
We did it!
Brought to you by Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush and our illustrious podcast editor Kyle G,
who I had
the pleasure of spending some time with yesterday on one of our other projects. I love that guy.
Oh, man. That's my Yesterday guy. Was Wednesday.
Yesterday was Wednesday.
I love Kyle so much.
Man. The playlist will be updated with all of the musics, and Kyle will make sure all the text messages get in here. But you know the deal. Do not let the individual distract you from the systems. Poverty is a policy choice. People over profit. Power to the people. None of us are free until we are all free. Thank you so much for listening. And you can catch us Monday night on YouTube at 6:30 to 8:30.
Don't forget May 19th, primary election.
Hello.
More info Monday. Bye.